Blog Talk. Hi, and welcome to Awakening. This is Michelle McKay. I hope all of you are doing really, really well. First off, I want to tell you that great piece of music you heard in the intro. Great friend of mine that actually wrote that, called Happiness, and I just think it's a happy little tune. And that's by DJ Petey of Moontribe.org. Anyway, are you guys awake? Are you waking up? Are you living awake? I really want to hear from you and really hear about your path and your process. This is what Awakenings is about. It's really a place to track and assist in this converging flow. You know, there is this converging flow that is happening right now that, you know, there's a push in a way cosmically, consciously, if you will, between now and 2012. And this converging flow is basically a freeing up and opening up, as you can see, getting past limiting beliefs, you know, healing, health crises, you know, looking at ourselves differently, looking at ourselves in more of an expanded way. And we need the forms. We need the forms, you know, the music, the books, the beliefs, the ideas that can hold this expanded consciousness. And because we're part of the resonant field, you know, we are the resonant field of consciousness, we're individually and collectively creating these new structures, these new ways of being that are facilitating the expanded consciousness. And, of course, this expanded consciousness is creating an upshifting, an up-leveling of our vibrational frequency so that we're living more creatively, more intuitively, so that we're living from the higher mind or the higher directive. Now, all that requires healing, though, which simply just means balance. It comes from the old English, old Halen, really just meaning to rebalance. And so, in a sense, that's what all of us are doing, is this rebalancing. And I want to hear, how are you rebalancing? That's kind of the thing. You know, we don't have to do this all alone, and we're not meant to, you know, and that's why this converging that's happening. One of the things that's also happening in this converging flow is that more and more people are getting together and, you know, trading insights, stories, helping each other. And in light of that, that's how Awakenings came about. It actually came from my guides that I work with, from the spiritual hierarchy, and I answered the call. And that's a lot of what this show is about. So any of you that are kind of tuning in, whether listening in or, you know, in the chat room, hello everybody there, Intuitive DJ, hi. You can go to my website, www.selfinlight.com, and that's selfinlight.com. If you want more info, and like it says, self-enlight, we're already enlightened. We're just all waking up to this. That's the whole deal here. And Awakenings is going to be on Blog Talk Radio now. It's every Wednesday, 12 to 1 p.m. Pacific, and then also on CosmicDimensions.com every Saturday and Sunday. So we got that out of the way. So welcome, everyone. Great to have you here, and great to connect with all of you. And I want you to think of, are you answering the call, and are you hearing the call? That's the most important. Are you hearing that inner directive within and listening and really aligning within to say, what does this call mean? What is the new directive that is coming up for me? Because we are the way showers. That's what Awakenings is about. That's what a lot of these shows actually on Blog Talk Radio are about, people that I've been connecting with. Is our encoding has happened more quickly. Our DNA encoding and energetic encoding has happened before the global mainstream conscious, you know, and then I'm going to say consciousness, but also consciously. So we will go through things, and as going through things, because of what we go through and coming out the other side, we become the way shower, the light worker, simply bringing light, awareness, authenticity of who we are, moving into that empowerment of living what I like to call full radiant self-expression, allowing more and more of our self-expression, our radiant self-expression, our divine expression to come through. And who is being reprogrammed is not the essence or the soul essence. It's simply the ego personality level. And so in light of that, we may have challenges. We might have crises. We might have a change point. And that doesn't mean we're not enlightened or we're not aware. It's just the way that the soul or the universal mind or God, all that is, uses to redirect us. It's not about not being aware enough or enlightened enough. It's a redirection of energy. So today we have on Awakening someone that's definitely been answering the call. She's been listening, hearing, and answering the call. Today we have on Teresa Pates, who, like I said, is answering the call, and she's open to helping others. And I think she has a wonderful, wonderful message of her path and process and has a lot to share. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Michelle.
It's great to
Hi,
have
everybody.
You here.
It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, well, I'm so glad. You know, we had like an instant connection, you know. And then when, you know, you shared a bit of what's happened to you in your life, what I call that crises or change point, if you will, and crises coming from the Latin crossroads.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely took your crossroads or your crises to go within, come out the other side and realize that it's time to reach out and share, to share the shifts, to share what's going on.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't an easy road, and it wasn't, you know, a flip of a switch and then all of a sudden things got better, but definitely, as we all are, works in progress.
Yes. Yeah.
But it definitely opened my eyes.
So share a little bit, if you will, what your crisis point or your turning point. What was going on with you, the ego personality you, that was getting redirected? What was happening in your life?
Oh, goodness. I was very self-centered and egotistical and very good at pointing the finger at other people and playing the blame game. Very good at if everybody else would just get their stuff together, then I could work mine out, and it just never seemed to work out that way.
Right.
And then the more people were messing up, the worse my life got, and the more I blamed people. It was just this endless circle of miserable living. I mean, I was barely existing, let alone living.
Mm. And you had a deep depression too, right? What was going on with
oh,
that?
Yeah.
It seemed like you had a lot of body somatic. Did that happen over time, or was it just kind of all of a sudden this all hit you?
You know, I've had things. I've seen things, I've heard things that all my life as a young child, and I didn't know what that was, and I didn't know how to receive it, so it scared me, so I shut it off. Mm-hmm. So I've had, you know, filters put on since being a young child, and I've had things that have kind of fed through, and I've readjusted the channel to make it what I wanted it to be. So say, for instance, I would get
how
I would interpret
you.
What was coming through. Yeah. So instead of seeing things as, like, I had lots of visitations as a kid,
mm-hmm.
In dreams and lots of spirits around me, and I freaked and shut it off. I think I was intrigued because I was more interested, probably more as a teenager, as like the horror side of death,
mm-hmm.
and watching all of the horror movies and the blood and the gore and that side of death, which I think when you're pulling in the other side, not really knowing that you are, and you're also in tune with that, I think I was pulling in a lot of stuff I
lower
I
level
didn't know.
Entities.
Yeah. As well as the other, but not knowing to recognize what is what, and I mean, so I shut a lot of it off. And And I think just in time, depression kind of just set in. Mm-hmm. And I think that was more so just due to confusion in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. not really having any kind of self-identifying, not knowing who I was and trying to fit in and knowing I was different and yet wanting to be the same.
Right.
So much so that I was willing to sacrifice who I was, and I think a lot of people do that. They, mm-hmm. they put on a good costume and a good face and a good personality and go out into the world and be that person and then come home and, you know, think, okay, that's over with, now what?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to be yourself at home and not outside of your home, to me is sad. Now.
But, yeah.
But I think a lot of people are still walking that walk and that they feel like they have to live up to what society thinks that they should be and the labels that society puts on them. So anyway, my depression kind of set in slowly, I think, and manifested itself in a lot of ways with anxiety and illness and chronic fatigue syndrome and headaches and back pain and fibromyalgia and it just kept coming.
Yeah, that's why.
And the more that I focused on that stuff, the sicker I got.
Mm.
And the more I went to the doctors, and the more I would say something's wrong with me, and the more they would say, yep, you're right, here's another pill.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty soon I was on, I mean, and now I'm to the point where I'm physically, on a physical level as well as an emotional, psychological, and spiritual level, now on a physical level, I'm poisoning myself with the multi amounts of medicines that these doctors just so, you know, they hand out so freely without the acknowledgement of knowing what else it is that you're taking or
right.
not taking.
Now,
are
you taking stuff now? Or you're
no.
No.
Oh, no.
Okay, yeah.
No. No, I stopped. When I finally resided to the fact that I needed something. I needed something, intervention or something. My family wasn't really supportive in the fact that they said, you know, get over it, get on with it. You I mean, look at your life. You don't have that bad of a life, which I didn't
mm-hmm.
From the outside aspect. Yeah, everybody has financial difficulties. I had children young and we were struggling that way. But as far as any kind of major upset in my life, I didn't have anything to really complain about. And I think that made it a little bit worse. So then you got the guilt factor.
Absolutely. Well, you know, the thing is, shamanically, and that's part of my training as a shaman, is that there is a space for depression. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Matthew
mm-hmm.
Fox talks about in his book, The Original Blessing, you know, that we all come in with this original blessing. And he talks about that you have the via positiva. His contention is that we're all, this society, Western society, that's not really an Eastern. They are allowed to go within and go deep, you know.
Right.
But in Western society, we're hooked on the via positiva. Everything has to be positive.
Right.
And his contention is there's these pathways, the via positiva, the via negativa, and out of that deep void, the mother, the womb, going and with help, going deeper and deeper within, whatever that
mm-hmm.
means for that individual, they come out into the via transformativa, and from that transformation is the via creativa.
Mm.
And something you and I had talked about at one point was that you felt, you know, you had, see, to me, if we when we have that, and it's starting to a bit become more, well, it's not really mainstream yet, but more known, you know, at least on the more on the fringe, that not all, and in some with holistic healthcare practitioners actually,
mm-hmm.
that not all, you know, depression isn't necessarily always clinical. That it's a lot of times it's a redirecting of energy or something new is coming through, and you need almost like a midwife, you know, male
right.
or female, right? You need
right.
a guide.
Yeah.
But you were saying at one point that you really didn't have a guide. You didn't have a way to chart this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had nobody. And I mean, and it sounds horrible because it sounds like everybody turned their back. And I don't mean I didn't have anybody like physically.
Mm-hmm.
People would say, you know, I'm here for you. Talk to me. But when I was a pretty intense person anyway, deep-wise. I mean, I couldn't have had a deep conversation with you because the probably the education aspect of going within on a word level wasn't there.
Yeah.
And understanding what it was that I was dealing with wasn't there. So I felt inadequate in that aspect, and yet I felt like I was, there was so much more to me that people didn't know, that I didn't even know, that I hadn't even tapped into. And yet, I felt worthless. I mean, physically worthless. I felt as if, you know, what have I done with my life? I haven't done anything besides have kids, I mean, which is huge, but yeah, you know, always looking outward at what society was saying, this is what makes you successful, this is what makes you happy, this is what you should look like to be beautiful, all of
well,
that.
Well, we're taught
you
that.
You take all that in. Yeah,
we're,
you take all that in and kind of digest it, and it wasn't resonating with me. And instead of recognizing it, I was trying to force it to work and going through the motions in life, and ended up getting really, really ill, to the point where I was, I call it committing really slow and painful suicide with the help
well,
of the doctor.
Can't really be you. Now, Kathy has brought up a point in a chat room that, you know, it's something people didn't talk about then, and even now,
definitely.
Actually, right,
yeah.
Kathy? And she's talking about how, yeah, people would have thought you were mental or been committed.
Oh, definitely. And they, you know, it was, and it's so funny because once I was diagnosed, I started talking about it. And people didn't want to hear. They didn't want to listen. And when they did listen or acted, more so they would look at you like they were listening and you know they're not. They've shut you off.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what it is because you're a mirror and you're actually reflecting something back to them that they saw in themselves. And it scared the crap out of them to know that, No. You're the one that has the problems, not me.
Mm-hmm.
And by seeing that you have resided to the fact that you need to be on medicine tells me that I might get to that point and I'm stronger than that. From that warped sense of twisted brain thinking. But my husband was out, you know, because I'm a pretty strong person. So it was, come on, you know, you can get
it.
You pull yourself back up and get back on the horse.
Yeah.
Let's go. You're bigger than this. You don't need to go to the doctor and tell them our life problems. We don't really have any major problems. You don't need to be on medicine because this isn't a medicine thing. Mm-hmm. And I finally thought, and my mom was like, everything, it's addictive. And other more subtle ways of making it look like an accident.
Yeah, you disappeared.
Well, I would literally think of things like while I'm on the road driving to actually swerve over into the other lane and have somebody hit me head on.
Mm-hmm.
So that if I was to die that way, it would be an accident and it would be tragic, but the family would get over it and it wouldn't be as bad as saying she killed herself, you know.
Right.
Suicide seems to have, when you hear suicide, it just breaks your heart to think that somebody actually ended their life. And the impact of that to people is so much harder. So I was actually, I was being considerate in my thought process, which sounds a little warped, but I was thinking of these things. I was on the road. I was waking up thinking of them. I was dreaming about them. I mean, I was really putting a lot of thought into this. But I never did anything. I never actually followed through. Something kept me from actually moving the wheel over into the other lane or actually following through with any of it. And finally, I got to the point where I was about ready to lose my job. I couldn't get up in the morning. I couldn't put my head up off the pillow without vomiting. And just a week I couldn't walk. And I had to take pain medicine to actually sit up in bed. And then I would have to take something to go to sleep. And then I would have to take something for the anxiety. And then I would have to take something for my digestive system because it was all screwed up from everything else. And then I just remember laying in bed one day, and the only thing that kept me there, it was almost as if, okay, well, so now you can't go do all these things you were thinking of, you know, wiping yourself out on the road. Now you're stuck at home in bed. Now what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. Are you going to overdose?
Mm-hmm.
Which I considered that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, who would know the difference because I'm taking all these things anyway, blaming on the doctors. But I finally just thought, you know what, if I'm meant to die this way, let me go. I'll just go in peace. Just let me go. The only thing is I want my kids. I was really hard-headed that I did not want another woman raising my kids.
Well, you know what? Whatever works, Teresa.
That's what kept me here, and it sounds crazy. It's like, how selfish, you know? My kids are my kids. I birthed them, and I'll be damned if I have this man bring another woman into my house and raise my kids better than me and make my husband happier better than me. And when I finally, I think that was like the one last earthly thing that I detached from because I had pretty much let go. Mm-hmm. And that was it. I finally said, fine. I'll let him go. I'll let the kids go. Make sure that whoever you bring into their lives is somebody that's willing to give them everything and then some and will honor them and let them, you know, guide them along their way and do everything in the best interest of them. And it was as if that was the light bulb. I was off work for like another 2 months and I stopped taking the meds. Something said, just stop taking
wow.
them. And the doctors were like, oh, because you should never. And I don't want to ever tell anybody to stop taking medicine without a doctor or somebody intervening because you can really hurt yourself.
Mm.
But I literally stopped all of it the same day. Within probably 24 hours, I just said, enough.
Mm-hmm.
I'm poisoning myself. And
well, it was your path, your process, right? Your way to do this was, you know, listening to your own inner directive, which I think everybody needs to do is listen to their own inner directive. What might be right for one may not be right for another person. And I think then that's a lot about what this mass awakening that we're all going through is about, is that we have to know. You have to know, is it, am I getting the higher directive or is this coming from the ego personality? You know, where is this directive coming from? And from that, then you know what to do. But it may not be what somebody else is going to be doing. So we really have to know ourselves, you know. And I think this awakening that's happening is really about that. We have lost the sound on Teresa. Now, I know that she's on a cell phone, so maybe she will call back in. I want to say hi to everybody that's listening. You're listening to Awakenings, and Awakenings airs every Wednesday, 12 to 1, live on Blog Talk Radio. I know probably a lot of people that are listening can really relate to this, you know, story. And more than a story, it's really a path and a process, isn't it? It's really about, are we listening, like I said earlier, to that inner directive? And sometimes that inner directive comes in a physical form, you know, a somatic body, what we call body somatic. So aches and pains within the body, illness, disease. Years ago, part of my path was, which I still do a bit of this, is energetic and light healing. Some of you may know of this. It's similar to pranic healing. A bit of that, bioenergy alignment, Reiki, it's a technique that works with channeling the healing energy, which I always say in channeling, when you open to be that channel, you can receive information, you can receive light, you can receive, you know, understanding, you can commune with those that are on the other side, or the veil, you know, that are not embodied and are at a different frequency. And at the time, I was doing a lot of work with people that had had cancer and AIDS. And AIDS specifically, I saw some people that looked amazingly healthy and then would receive the information that they would be crossing over. Some that didn't look great would not be crossing over. And what was very interesting is that on the other side, in the expanded consciousness, that dis-ease, that illness, or I call it really the conditions, that condition was actually used to as a tool. You know, and if you think about it, everything in our life is used as a tool, whether we are aware of that or not. Everything that we have that happens to us is for the greater good. So it's either to expand our awareness, expand our consciousness, or to go upshift or go to a next level. These conditions that we have in our life are really about the way or the steps to do what we need to do, I guess is the best way to put it. So I have these amazing, and what the amazing healing that would happen would be that these people will see that what was going on with them really was this transformative experience for themselves and for others, and sometimes just for others. It was done out of service, because when you think about it, when somebody is sick, it really does bring in a level of awareness, a level of consciousness. There's an upshifting that happens, not for all, but for a lot. There's an opportunity there to go beyond the surface, go beyond what is mainstream or normally seen. I think we have Teresa back. Let me see. Teresa, is that you?
Hi.
Sorry.
That's
okay. I'm in chatting away.
I have a thing with technology, so I'm thinking.
Oh, no, you know
what? What was I saying at the moment that I got disconnected? Pay attention.
Yeah, no, you know, it's just amazing. I have two computers. I'm like, you know, two consoles here in between. But earlier, because I wanted to actually go through Skype, then the sound was off on that. That wasn't working. Mm-hmm. I had to reboot twice. I'm just seeing in the chat room, welcome to the boot club. I'm the cosmic boot. We got boot. I'm thinking that perhaps, yeah, other people had to reboot also. So who knows?
Oh, interesting. Well, I tried to sign in like on the computer with my headphones, and it popped. The pop-up blocker came on, and it doesn't want to go off. So I just called you on the regular phone. So here
okay.
we are.
Here we are back again. You know, and by the way, you know, that's, you know, we talked about this before, I think actually last week, last show. You know, the upshifting, because of the computer, the technology comes from, you know, the cosmic mind as well as, you know, our it's, you know, enacted to our individual mind. But as we're upshifting, as our vibrational frequency is expanding and we're having these spurts, there's a lot of solar flares that are going on right now.
Right.
We have four outer planets, larger outer planets are retrograde. So there's a lot of fits and starts with the energy. So
yeah.
It does
yeah.
not surprise me. But, yeah, while you were shortly away, I just was mentioning how that, you know, illness or conditions a lot of times aren't just for us, it's for the people around us. And it can be a great, you know, awareness or learning
An opportunity.
Tool. Yeah,
well,
that's a good way to look at it.
I think everything's an opportunity. That's how I look at it as now. But,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, the illness was definitely, it was an eye-opener initially, more so in the fact of health. And
mm-hmm.
that I was neglecting myself, and that I needed to turn and stop worrying about what other people were saying and what other people were wanting, and start focusing on me. And I started researching vitamins and minerals and whole foods and paying attention to my diet. That's how I started. Really.
Now, did you notice a difference with the diet shift with the food that you're eating?
I can't stress to people enough that if you're going to start anywhere,
mm-hmm.
that you need to pay attention to what you're putting in your mouth.
Mm.
Because not just the thoughts, because that's huge too when it
yeah.
comes to the food-related thoughts, but the food that we put in our mouth that we're so quick to grab off the shelf at the grocery store, we don't read. I think people are more conscious now, a lot more than they were when I started this, because when I started this, there was very rarely could you find anything organic. You really had to go outside somewhere and go to where, you know, the hippie-type people mm-hmm. were, that were really new agey and spacey and stuff. And I started talking to people and finding out about different ways to eat. And it was, I mean, it's so simple. Whole foods, meaning nothing in a box, nothing in a bag, fresh from the garden if you can, and make it fresh, make it homemade.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have to improvise a little bit, then so be it. And if you don't eat that 24/7, so be it. If you begin there, it's huge at clearing out just the, I just saw it as just a huge dump of crap that was released when I started to revamp what I was putting in my mouth. And stop the medicine.
Well, and it's all vibration, right? I mean, it just, I'm kind of be in my path right now, not looking at things as good or bad, because that changes over time, but is something life-enhancing?
Yeah,
you know, is it life-enhancing or not? You know, and that's, to me, then that's my little sonar, you know, Geiger counter that, you know, boop, 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 go this way, go that way. Where is the life-enhancing?
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to ask you, Teresa, some health products that you were taking?
At that time, I don't remember the name of them. They were somebody.
Okay,
else.
But now, aren't you taking something or working with?
Now I'm working with Transfer Factors.
Okay.
And that is a protein molecule that is extracted from colostrum, from cow, from cow and chickens, and. I apologize, I don't have any of my information in front of me, and I've kind of, I take it, and it's a daily thing for me, and I haven't studied it, because they got a lot of new stuff out anymore, awesome things, and if you're interested in wanting to know more about it, what it is it's an immune system stabilizer. So a lot of the things that are going on in society today, lupus and just a ton of things are all based around your immune system, and your immune system's either overacting or underacting.
Interesting. Overacting.
Overacting, it's working against itself. It's working overtime, and it starts to develop all of these other things to keep itself busy, like the lupus and the...
Overactive.
I can't even think of
and
all
tell
of
me what
things.
It is again. It's trans... I'm going to look that up. It's, what's it called? Trans...
My website is www.4, T as in Tom, F as in Frank, 4TF.com/Pates, P-A-T-E-S. And that'll at least get you to the basic stuff. And if you're wanting, I just took this out this morning.
That sounds interesting. That
there's a bunch of information, a bunch of research on what it is.
Look.
And
one thing
that
Peter was saying in the chat room was saying that also eating, which is really, really important. I've had a couple of situations when I didn't listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not just eating when you're feeling good, but also a place that the higher vibrational. You know, whether at restaurant or something. I had a situation years ago where I just had a vibe about this place. I don't know why. And it turned, I don't know what was going on, but I ended up getting so sick. And I could feel it. I guess the cook had been arguing in the back. And some stuff was going on. And I was with a group of people. And now I'll tell people, I don't care how it looks, but we're going somewhere else or I'm not eating, you know, or you can eat there. But I'm so sensitive. I don't know about you. I'm that sensitive
I
can.
Am too.
You are. If some vibe is off, I don't know what it is, or a funny smell, or a cleaning product, or the. Or
I can't walk through a lot of parts of the grocery store because I can't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Not just I can't breathe, but I feel like, well, even like last night, my daughter, I mean, we walked by the cleaning aisle, and she's like, oh, my God, I feel like somebody's strangling me.
Yeah.
And it's just all the chemicals and stuff that's in the air. So chemically, as far as that, physically, That definitely affects me, but also vibrationally.
Yeah,
I think I went for a walk last night with my next door neighbor, and she's had food issues all her life and gone back and forth. And it's like trying to explain to her that, you know what, if you're beating up on yourself, I mean, you break it down to the simple stuff. Stop trying to, if you have a food log, put into the food log, you know, on a scale from 1 to 10, how did I do today? 5. I did okay. Mm-hmm. I wasn't horrible, but I wasn't great. And it just kind of gives you a generalized thing. If you put in there and you stuck to everything that day and you did awesome, you give yourself a 10 and you wrote down everything you ate and you drank and you exercised, and then the next day you don't feel like doing it, it's a deterrent that
yeah.
you did so awesome yesterday, and why can't, what's my issue today, to where you just beat yourself up.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's a head game.
Mm-hmm.
And to say, you know what, lighten up. I mean, we live in a world where there is stuff that you're gonna pull up at a fast food because that's all that's around, and you're going to eat it. You're not going to die because 90% of the things that you're eating are healthy, and
mm-hmm.
this time you happen to stop and get a cheeseburger
mm-hmm.
somewhere. You know, acknowledge it, get over it, and move on.
Mm-hmm.
It's,
yeah, and
it's
I think,
not,
I mean, in that
like,
note, I think
it's
an individual thing, and I think for me, living awake, being aware, is just I'm aware of what I need and want. I'm getting that intuition, that inner directive. I call it spirit-led living, however you want to term it.
Mm-hmm.
So what somebody else does may or may not be, you know, right for me. You know, I mean, I know years I was vegan for about 10, 11 years, and I was 6 years I was vegan. About 10 years I was vegetarian. Now I eat, you know, some fish. I ended up getting a oil deficiency, not enough oil.
Mm.
And I was on raw foods for 3 years before it was like really popular.
Yeah.
And my nutrition, I ended up having an oil deficiency, you know, so my system,
those
well
things
as
that you were lacking. You weren't getting
well, yeah, well as protein and
mm-hmm.
you know, I just think it's consciousness. I just don't think anymore. I think we have to move beyond the labels, you
yep.
know, just like, you know, you and I were talking about this earlier. You have to do what's right for you. And knowing what serves. The other thing, I got at one point thyroid, was it the hypo?
Mm-hmm.
And that
mm-hmm.
too, depression,
the
sickness, I mean, migraine, all kinds of weird symptoms beyond the,
yeah.
the weight gain, which is, thank God, that's going away, right, Kathy?
Mm-hmm.
Kathy in the chat when we were, were talking earlier about, you know, getting the weight off. But my doctor, I went to this amazing doctor, Dr. Gruen, any of you in the L.A. area, who's a MD but also holistically based, and it turns out that soy blocks
yep.
the convert. Do you know that? From T3 to T4. And I was Miss Soy Queen. I mean, soy meatballs,
oh, that's
soy
mom,
patty,
yeah.
soy, you know, now
yeah.
I can have a little bit. I'll have a little bit of soy milk or something in my tea or coffee, but
limit it.
But you don't
pay attention to where it's coming from as well.
That, but also apparently, I guess the soybean is better than the processed soy.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Well,
but
I
who knew? I mean, I thought I was doing something really healthy for my body.
Yeah.
And it turned out for my body, it's you know,
yeah.
you can't overdo the soy. So.
Well, I think people will continue to do things if they, like you're saying. Here you're saying, okay, everybody else says, the label says this is good for me.
Yeah.
The issue with my body that I just don't feel good.
Yeah. Oh, you know, Teresa, I had a guy one time, I was in a health food store, and he was on raw food, and I don't know what I was buying, and I was talking about, I guess, sauteing or something, the broccoli. And I'd already done raw food, right, for 3 years. I have nothing against it. I still eat raw, but it's not my whole diet. He got so angry with me saying, you should be eating raw, and when I told him, I said, well, it's not really good for my digestion. You know, I went
mm-hmm.
through a whole program on this. He said, well, there's something wrong with your system then, because raw food is good for everybody. And I said, well, not everyone, you know. And then I thought to myself, you know what, if you ate less raw, you wouldn't be as irritated. Maybe you need a drink, or you need, right? You need some meat or something, because
I think it is very unique to each individual what it is that they're lacking, and that's why I think you know the medical industry just so generalizes, and you can't live by a textbook. I mean, and that's what they do. That's a whole other show, the whole medical aspect and synthetic drugs and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. What would you suggest to people, though, Teresa, that, let's say, are going through similar things that you went through and, let's say, getting put on a lot of, you know, medication or you know.
My big thing is I say listen to your body.
Okay.
When you're taking the medicine, you're dumbing it down. You're putting something in your body to take away the symptom, and the symptom is coming up for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's telling you. Pain is a good thing, believe it or not.
Oh, I
agree.
Pain
is telling you that something is not vibrationally running aligned within your body, and
mm-hmm.
you need to stop and listen.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people will say, okay, so I stopped, I listened, and my body said, I'm in pain. That's what
mm-hmm.
I got out of it. I'm
mm-hmm.
in pain, and I can't handle it, so I'm going to take something. But I think the first thing is to stop and listen, to start acknowledging, okay, where is this, you know, what's going on in my life right
mm-hmm.
now?
Mm.
Kind of just do an inventory. Okay, what's happening right now? It might be month end. It might be, you know, my mortgage is due. My husband and I got into a fight last night. What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Might be something that has something to do with it, and it might not, but it's good to just kind of sit back and say, what's happening right now, kind of question.
Mm-hmm.
And then listen. And then the more that you tune in to how often that pain comes, pay attention
mm-hmm.
to what's happening in your life. It's amazing. Certain things will come up at certain times of month. So, like, just like when we associate with our menstrual cycle that we become bitchy
mm-hmm.
or that's when I feel bloated, and you kind of associate that together. So back pain, well, when me and my husband fight, I tend to get a backache. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, something's going on to where my pain seems to reside in this one part of my body. What's happening there?
Mm-hmm.
Or so I've you might not know, like, what it is that you need to work on. You might be amazed at the things when you actually sit down and stop and be quiet and listen at some of the information that you're fed
mm-hmm.
by the sources, by source that just comes in and says, here's what the issue is.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, if I've had people that just stopped eating meat completely, that
mm-hmm.
said, all of a sudden, out of the blue, I'm told, you can start eating meat again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, everything, it goes against everything that I've been doing.
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to be eating meat. It's not supposed to be good for me. And once they've listened and started to just integrate meat back into their diet again, things changed. This,
yeah.
Whatever.
Well, you know, the thing, too, on all fairness, everything is alive. So you're eating the plant that is, it's all alive. They're
exactly.
In a, right? It's
yeah.
all, you
common
know,
sense.
Energetic.
Common sense. And what did they do way back when? I mean, my husband's a hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not a hunter in the aspect that he's out for a trophy. He's in the hunter in the aspect that he's out for meat for the family. He still has a very traditional way of thinking about the humane kill. So he tracks the animal. He's a muzzle loader if he uses a gun at all. So he's completely traditional in that aspect. But he's made his own bow and arrow. So he shoots with a bow and arrow. No sights, no none of that stuff that's all new age and stuff. So he's got to track the animal. I mean, just like they did way back in the day where they're watching the droppings, how fresh are the droppings,
mm-hmm.
Trailing them, tracking them, you know, sleeping all day, waiting for them to come up from their nap, and then making sure that when he makes that kill, it's going to be that. It's going to be a kill. There's not
right.
going to be a struggle involved in this animal. The adrenaline that goes through their body when they are shot. I mean, if you just stop at the fact of saying killing an animal is inhumane, yes, that sounds horrible. It sounds inhumane.
Mm-hmm.
Killing anything sounds inhumane if you just stop there.
Mm-hmm.
But what did they do back when there wasn't a grocery store
right,
where you could go
right.
buy your food?
Well, we've lost that connection to where stuff comes from, right?
Right, and the honoring of the animal that you're killing to feed your family. And the food that you're eating, this food that we eat, this deer, this elk, this the birds, this is food that hasn't been tainted by anything that's
mm-hmm.
been touched by man as of yet, besides the fact that, sadly, a lot of the areas where these wild game are moving into are have been grazed with pesticides that have been blowing across, you know, the land, which is kind of getting scary. But the meat is pure. It's the best meat that you can eat on earth. There's nothing in it, and it's I can't even explain the difference that you feel. A lot of people won't eat it because it tastes different. It doesn't
taste gamey,
good.
Right?
But most things that taste good are usually not good for you.
I don't know. I get cravings for cauliflower.
So do I. Yeah.
I get weird craving. Right now I'm into my Synergy. Anybody drinking Synergy, the kombucha
but
tea
that's
with
now.
You?
If you were to think back in the day when you were eating Snickers and whatever.
Well, I'll still have one of those every now and then.
Cauliflower put in front of you versus a chocolate cookie. You know,
depends on my mood. And I've actually been kind of, in this way since, I don't know, middle school or junior high. But I don't know. What do you think? I think we're kind of all, you know, when I'm hearing your story. Plus, you also, Teresa, you live more, it sounds like, more in the country, right? Because to be able to go hunting and all that, you're kind of.
No, not where I'd like to be, no. I'm just on the outsides of the city.
Okay.
My husband goes over to the other side of the state to do hunting and all that. But so there's nothing that's close by. So
Well, closer than where I'm in the Venice Marina, Venice Beach. Marina Del Rey. I mean, we have the farmer's market. That's great, you know, but I kind of like in my life, the main universal laws of, you know, that law of attraction, you know, magnetic attraction, becoming more magnetic to draw in, law of resonance.
Yep.
Where am I being guided? What's resonating with me?
Yep. To know, to empower yourself with what actually resonates with you and recognize that and dismiss it if it does not.
Right.
I think a lot of people try and force stuff that because somebody says that this is what works for them, they assume it should work for them too. And you can't do that. You have to take what information works for you, and if it works, great. Make it your own. Twist it, turn it, bend it. Make it your own. Make it work for you. Put it in your knapsack and keep on walking and grab something along the way. I kind of look at it like if you've got your backpack and you're walking along a path and you think, this is a really pretty flower, and you pick it up and you put it in your backpack and you keep going. You're like your tool sack of things that work for you, and you just keep walking past the things that don't. Doesn't mean that they're right or they're wrong. They might work wonderfully for somebody else. It might be somebody else's full-blown truth, and they swear by it and nothing else, but it just doesn't feel right for you, then that's fine. Walk by it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean
well,
it's
that,
right
to me, that's
wrong
that loving, the law of allowance, right?
Yeah.
That's that law of allowance.
And knowing what is yours and what's not yours.
Yeah. And I also say the loving law of allowance is also don't stick your nose where it doesn't belong.
Yeah, and not judging people, because I think we get the ego is so good at saying, and I went through this initially when I started feeling better. I wanted to tell people. I wanted to, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I was just talking to people. And I didn't realize till afterwards that, I mean, I was like forcing how good I was feeling on people and forcing it in a way that you should do this. You should do this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you should do this. And they were backing away. And I was, instead of pulling people to me and drawing people to me in interest, they were backing away in fear of going, holy cow.
Right.
Yeah, that's great that it worked for you, but why are you shoving it down my throat? And making them feel bad that they, you know, look at you. Look at how you eat. Look at what you're doing here. Look at you. You can feel like me.
Oh, believe me, I went through that. That's how people, either you're a newbie, you haven't gone, you're not living in light. I went through that too. You know,
still learning.
Oh, my God,
still
learning.
And, I did feel good, and I wanted to share. And then finding that balance of saying, okay, so here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
You want to share, that's obvious, but you need
to
know that you need to share with people that want to hear it. So finding that space, knowing when to kind of come out with things where people would say, wow, you know, you look different than the last time I saw you. You look really good, or you seem like you got a lot of energy. What's going on? It's an invitation for me to bring it out, but bring it out in a way of saying, here's what I did. I feel great. And then leaving it, you know, not saying, here's what you should do.
Now, don't you think, do you think that people are able to receive whatever you have to say more by just you living whatever it is that you're doing rather than, you know, looking for opportunities at every corner to let people
know
what you're doing?
Yeah, I know that. I know where I came from as being so needy to the point that I would take whatever somebody said and I would take it literally and I would swallow it, digest it, live it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to learn the hard way to work through whether it worked or not by living it.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, we're all here to experience. That's what we're here for, good, bad, otherwise. I think it's all energy. There is no name to either one. It's whatever you uniquely put to it.
Right.
Whatever your vibrational frequency is that you attach to it, your conditioned beliefs that you've attached to it.
Mm-hmm. And they're just
you
that.
You learn
conditions.
How to live intentionally and purposefully, and you are living, walking the talk.
Yeah.
When you
That's
begin
it.
To walk the talk, because I began to read and I began to research and I began to do all this stuff and absorb and absorb, and it was all inside and I was empowered and I was this and that, but I was still living. I mean, I changed my diet. You know, I was doing things
mm-hmm.
gradually, but I wasn't living completely as I was wanting to.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm still. Nobody ever stops either.
No,
that's
no.
Thing.
That's
what
I know. I tell a lot of my clients say, "Oh, I've been working on this for so long," and I'm like, "You know what? It's just." To me, mm-hmm. Teresa, the difference is after a while you just know that it's not about you, your true essence, that you're perfect
mm-hmm.
as you are.
Right.
You're right where you need to be. You know, you're aware, you're expanded, enlightened, however you want to put it. It's just fine-tuning little things. Is it clearing the emotional body? Is it working through something? And you just do it, and you don't judge yourself or assign yourself a certain,
judgment
right, a certain something negatively.
Yeah. I think when we begin to forgive and stop judging ourselves,
mm-hmm.
We can begin to stop judging and forgive others. When you realize what that truly, truly means, it
mm-hmm.
is such a relief to know that I don't have to be right about anything.
Right.
I don't have to argue anything. I have nothing to defend. I am who I am, and if you like me, awesome. And if you don't, awesome. I mean,
yeah.
I might not be for everybody, and that's cool, too. You might not be for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from a place now where I love everybody. I honor everybody, and everybody has something to say, something to give. There's a reason why you're here. And the people that are struggling, really struggling, need to know that they're never, ever alone. And I know what it's like to be in that place of feeling like, but you don't understand. You don't live in my shoes. You don't live in my head. You don't know what goes through my head every day, every minute, every second of just wanting to just escape.
Yeah.
That's the easy part.
Yeah.
Is to just kill
well, you know, you bring
up
a good point because we don't know how people arrive where they are.
Right.
You know, how long, you know, I teach meditation at Agape Spiritual Center and a couple other classes, and I tell people, you know, let me know if you're not going to be able to make it, but
mm-hmm.
don't worry if you're late. Because some people, it's like they go back to school. They're back in, you know, sixth grade, and they're kind of freaking out that, oh, I'm late, I'm sorry, don't worry. But you know what my contention is, because of my own life, what I've gone through in my life and what I've seen others, I don't know what it takes for someone to arrive.
Mm-hmm.
To get where they're going, you know, and I tell them in the beginning of the class, I say, look, don't worry about it. Just come in. If you're late, there's no big deal. I don't know what it took you to get here.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
some people may be crawling, you know, on the floor to get there, right? I mean, I've been there too, you know. So
people just are so, you know, I think it's just a matter of, I mean, it's so hard to encompass all the things that one goes through. Some have it pretty easy. I mean, some, like...
Yes, that's true.
Some will
yeah.
say, well, I just woke up one day and I was speaking to spirits, and you know what, it just comes that way, and I don't meditate, and I don't ground.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what any of that is. It just comes, and you know what, that's cool. But
yeah.
I still feel that as the frequencies change, as the veil becomes thinner, you still, as a human being with your physical form, you have to be able to clear. You have to be able to keep yourself the pure, concise, clear conduit. Remove yourself, detach yourself from anything that's moving through you, because if you don't, your body has no other way of reacting to it but becoming ill. And it might not affect you now, but it will eventually.
Yeah.
And now I see
that's
that.
It. No skipping the emotional clearing, no, alpha theta healing.
Yeah.
You know, just don't attach that it means anything. You know, it's just, whoops.
Yeah.
You know, it's like house cleaning. We don't judge ourselves because we have to do our laundry. You know, there's like.
I don't know. I've been there.
Have you?
I had a thing about my house cleaning for a long time. A long time.
Well, I mean, no, but I mean, we don't get mad that we have laundry. We all know we have laundry to do, you know.
Right.
It's like we don't think of ourselves less than because we have laundry, you know.
Right.
Maybe we'll buy something new so we don't have to do it. You know, I'm not a big laundry person either. I have somebody do it. It's not my thing. But the thing is, I think we have to look at our life sometimes that way, Teresa. I don't know what you think, but it's like, okay, is that a little emotional thing I have to clear? That's my laundry. Or physical, you know, adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
Is it working out more, working out less? Is it yoga? Is it running? Do I need to rollerblade? You know, what is my little laundry list? Do I need to clear some mental beliefs?
Hmm? Because try, you know, have fun. Try it. If it works, great.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't, try something else.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, you know, we judge so much on what we see physically that when you begin to see past that, and, you know, not everybody's, I know some people who, well, for instance, I've been taking care of myself now for almost 5 years, and I'm not thin. I'm still
mm-hmm.
not thin.
Mm-hmm.
And that was frustrating for a while because I'm thinking, okay, here, I've done the thought thing, I've done the spiritual thing,
I know.
I've done the diet thing.
Yeah.
What am I not doing here?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, well, you know what? This is not where that's not what your body's supposed to be doing right now. This is where your body is right now. It's supposed to be working on the other things. So, knowing that everybody's different, everybody's put on this earth to be unique, different is actually wonderful, and to be the same is boring. So why would you want to be a follower?
Yeah.
Why not be a leader? Honor yourself in every aspect of who you are, in every bit that you're different. Learn about other people and their differences, and watch. Their story might be a little bit different than yours, but the point that you both are trying to get to is the exact same.
Yeah.
You're both on the same path, but you're just being led down another road to get there. And you both had different experiences that brought you to this point, to honor the people that have come into your lives, good, bad, or otherwise, because they've been represented in your life as their mirror.
Beautifully put.
Reflection of you. And something that you still haven't addressed.
Mm-hmm. Beautifully put,
you know,
Teresa. That's, I think, for everybody. Yeah. And to me, that's what the converging flow is. We all have, you know, sometimes similar ideas, sometimes very different ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But we're all going the same place. We're all converging to that same point. And it's important that we listen to each other, share, you know, really get to that understanding, even if we don't agree, but really get to that point.
Agree to disagree.
Absolutely.
I mean,
well, Teresa, it's been great to
have
compassion.
You. Yes.
Great.
You know
to,
what? If I say anything to anybody, if you want to start somewhere, start simple. Start clearing the things.
Yeah. So I
want to
give
you
your email.
They're stagnant. Okay.
Which is kplus4@msn.com, and that's K the letter plus4@msn.com. And those of you that have been listening, thanks for tuning in. Really love connecting with all of you. And next week on Awakenings, we are going to have an awakening panel. We're going to have John Bertoli, who's a film producer, Josie Kelly, financial expert, stockbroker, Diane Lerner, who is an astrologer, Evolve, a conscious hip-hop artist. And what we're going to be talking about is the converging flow, debunking the doom and gloom of 2012, and what does it take to live awake? All of these people are living awake in their relative field, and doing it in a mainstream way, too. So we're going to kind of talk about the trends and what is happening. So I really look forward to connecting with all of you.
Be the change you want to see in the world. And namaste. Thank you, Michelle, for having me on.
Thank you so much, Teresa. And we're going to have you on again. And again, join me next week for the panel discussion, Wednesday at 12:30. 12 p.m. Pacific time. And until next time, keep awake.